thank you so much for your cooperation this morning, participation. God is good. He's very good. I'd like to ask this morning, if you would, take your Bible and let's go back to John chapter 3 this morning. While you're finding your place, I do have one more announcement to make that was handed to me earlier. This Wednesday night will be missions night. So anyone that participates and wants to participate in that, please come and be prepared. We'll divide up into our groups and we'll discuss missions work and missions opportunities in our community and within the Blue Ridge Baptist Association. So you can put that on your calendar for Wednesday night. We're in John's Gospel, chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 17 this morning. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we do bring the Word of God before You today. I pray that You would anoint it. I pray that it would reach hearts and lives, and it would accomplish and purpose that which You have set it out to do. Dear Heavenly Father, I would just ask that You would use this small church, use this humble pastor to preach Your Word, and may it touch our hearts and lives and draw all of us closer to You. May everyone that hears this message today walk away and say that they truly have been in the presence of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I hear often people make the remark, there is no opportunity around here. And when we speak of jobs and education and retirement and communities and many similar examples, we can truthfully say opportunity does vary from place to place, doesn't it? Now, depending on what end result you're looking for will determine where you must look for the best opportunity. Now, what I just described to you was worldly opportunity. And we all work with it every day, don't we? We all work with worldly opportunity. And there's nothing sinful in that aspect of worldly opportunity. Christians have to function and live in the world, don't we? But we are not to be of the world. We're not to be worldly minded and carnally minded. There's a difference. There is a difference. Those are two very different things. Now, spiritual opportunity is something, again, very different. According to the Bible, we have a mortal life on this earth. And we have an immortal, eternal life beyond this earth. Life that carries on after we pass away, after death. Now, in the discussion that we've been listening to and we've been preaching through in John chapter 3, we have been dealing with Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. Jesus began by telling Nicodemus he must be born again. If you will go back in the beginning of chapter 3, you'll see that. And he must be born again and be born twice, both by water and by spirit. In other words, he must be born of his mother from the womb in flesh, and he must be born of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. As I reflected on that, I realize there's one opportunity for birth. And think about that. There's one opportunity for birth. We have two of our young ladies, their husbands, and they're expecting. There's an opportunity there for birth. Just as there is that opportunity for birth, there is they have a due date. They can look ahead and there's that opportunity. That baby's only going to be born once, and I'm sure they're going to be glad of that. But there's also one opportunity for a rebirth. And that opportunity comes through Jesus Christ. Today's message has us looking at man's only opportunity for rebirth or being born again. Spiritual opportunity now is not like worldly opportunity. You don't find it in various places or in various degrees. The opportunity for being born again is found only in one place, and that is through Jesus Christ. You can find and practice religion. There are many religions in the world, but only one, and that's Christianity, offers you eternal life through a Savior. Every religion beyond Christianity offers you the teachings of a person. And that person is in a grave. I may have brought it into the message last week, and I'll use it again here today. Over the last couple of weeks, there have been over the news pictures of a Buddha that has been discovered. And this Buddha was run through an x-ray machine. And in the x-ray machine was a skeleton. So inside of this Buddha was a person. It wasn't a statue. It was a person that had been covered in gold. They had been mummified. And they had been covered in gold, and they were given the opportunity after their death to assume the role of Buddha. The skeleton tells me it was a dead body. Now we read, and we're getting prepared to celebrate the resurrection, Easter. Well, when we go back and we look at the Scripture, and when we go and we look at historically, Jerusalem and the area around Jerusalem, there are several places that we believe was a tomb that Jesus could have been buried in. The reason we have to believe or suspect what tomb it was is because there's no remains. Jesus isn't dead. Jesus was resurrected on the third day, and He walked the earth for 40 days, and then He ascended into heaven, where He is at the right hand of God. He physically was resurrected. So there's no bones, there's no burial. There's only a risen Savior. And that is man's opportunity, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. To understand the phrase, man's only opportunity, we need to understand the answer to three questions that come out of this passage. Now, there are many more things that I discovered and as I saw as I was studying this, but for the sake of the morning message, I want us to look at three questions. And the answers that come from those questions are answers that we may know from a knowledge standpoint. But we have to come to bear, do we know them from a spiritual standpoint today? So give your heart and your head to the Holy Spirit this morning as we consider man's only opportunity. Notice with me first, in verse 17, why did Jesus come? Now it's better answered, that question I say is better answered, by first asking, what did Jesus not come to do? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Now that's interesting. Jesus did not come to condemn. Jesus did not come as a baby in a manger to condemn the world. Do you know why? Because the world was already condemned. Jesus did not have to condemn the world. It was already done. Jesus is the Messiah, the Deliverer, a.k.a. the Lamb of God. The world was condemned through Adam, through the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Through them, the knowledge of good and evil came in to humanity. Sin came into humanity. And from sin came condemnation. The Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. That death is part of the condemnation that we all face. That death is part of the condemnation that comes by default to mankind. So Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Now Jesus will be returning. He will be returning to set up His millennial kingdom. Now, when we look ahead into the Scriptures and we see that, where He will pass judgment on those that are condemned because they have rejected Him, Jesus will be known then as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Same Jesus, different jobs. First function, He came, born as an infant in a manger to be the Lamb of God, to be the Messiah, to be the Savior of mankind. The second function, He will return as a man, resurrected from the first death, and He will set up His eternal kingdom, or His millennial kingdom here on earth, and from there, He will pass judgment on the condemned. Just as a judge sets before a trial in a courtroom, and in the end, He must pass judgment on the evidence given. Jesus will pass judgment on the evidence given at that day. But it won't happen until then. Jesus did not come the first time to judge. He came to save. So that comes to a question inside of answering this question. Which Jesus will you meet? You're going to meet one of them. You're going to meet Jesus the Messiah, or you're going to meet Jesus the judge. I can't answer that for no one but me. I know who I'm going to meet. I'm going to meet Jesus the Messiah. I know the work that He's done in me, and I'm not here to say I deserved any of that work. I'm not going to say I deserved anything that He gave. That's mercy. I deserve the condemnation that I have, that I carry with me in life. We go on and we read in verse 17, He did not condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Might be, not must be. You see, when we get into this and we start really studying and looking at John 3:16 through John 3:21, it is the end of the conversation with Nicodemus, but it is a very good study of salvation. Jesus came to save the world that was already condemned by fallen man. And as He came to save that condemned world, He called people to repentance. Might be saved is the decision and the choice of mankind to choose that redemption. So condemnation does not come from Jesus Christ. Condemnation comes from the individual that wants to reject Jesus. We see in this phrase, might be saved, it is the translation of one Greek word that refers to the opportunity for rescue or protection. Jesus Christ is man's opportunity for rescue and protection from the condemnation that we received from Adam, from the fall of man. And that condemnation is literally born into us at the time of our birth. Now, we don't like to think about that. When we hold a newborn baby, we see innocence. And it's true. It's innocent. Spiritually and physically. Because it has not reached an age and a point of accountability yet. It is innocent. But a day will come when it will reach that age of accountability. And when that age of accountability is realized, condemnation will be realized upon its heart and upon its life. And he or she will be at an age where they have to make the decision. They have to make a decision of which Jesus they will meet. The Lamb of God or the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When we look deeper at this verse, we see, for God sent. Jesus was sent. That's interesting. That studies out in a very interesting way. The word sent translates the Greek word apostello. And from this phrase, we also get our word apostle. In the simplest term, Jesus came to give the message of redemption and personally provide that redemption by His blood. In other words, Jesus is both messenger and mediator. Jesus is delivering a message of salvation, and Jesus is providing a way of salvation, and Jesus is providing a bridge that comes from God who sent Him to mankind who needs Him. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came because God loved man. God loves you this morning. God loves you and I enough to have sent Jesus to be that messenger and to be that mediator. God loves the world, those that are lost this morning, those that want nothing to do with God today. He loves them enough to still have grace and mercy flowing across the face of this planet, ready to receive them if they will accept Him. That's how great the love of God is. So we know why Jesus came. And we have begun to answer the second question in verses 18 and 19. Who does Jesus condemn? Well, the short answer is everyone and no one. You see, in verses 18 and 19, we see three things. First, we see a redemption from judgment. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Is not condemned. Believing on Jesus. Now, believing on Jesus, we need to get that clarified because there have been some deliberate attempts to really misinform people on believing. Believing is not a raise your hand, yes, I know Jesus, and I realize Jesus, and I know Jesus type of salvation. It just isn't. Because when you look at the word believeth, and you study that word out grammatically, and then you go back and look at all of the original languages and take time to study them out, it comes down to the simplest thing. Believeth comes from the heart. It is not just accepting with an academic knowledge that has nothing to do with Jesus. It is accepting from a heartfelt understanding of who Jesus is in a person. You remember, maybe you've heard the phrase, I don't understand all that I know. That is the best phrase I think I have ever heard that could be applied to salvation. I don't understand all that I know about it. Because all that I need to know is Jesus. All that I need to know is that Jesus saves. All that I need to know is that if Jesus calls me to repentance and I came to Him and I tell Him that I repent and I seek forgiveness of my sins, a miracle is done in my heart and a miracle is done in my life. That is believeth as it is stated in the Scriptures. Salvation is not logical. To borrow an old Star Trek phrase. Salvation isn't logical. You can't think through logically and connect A, B, C, D, and so forth and so on with salvation. Because salvation does not talk to our academic knowledge in our head. It talks to our heart. So redemption is from judgment. And to have redemption from judgment, we must know the reality of judgment. That verse continues on, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I don't know why it can't be any clearer than this right here. He that believeth not is condemned already. You're condemned because you don't believe. You're condemned because you don't accept. You have a nature that is by our own life and by our own birth, it has us against God. It has us in contrast with God. And Jesus redeems us from that. So by not believing, we're condemned already. So by rejecting Jesus, yes, it ensures condemnation. There is a reality of judgment. If we choose to live life condemned from the beginning and not accept Jesus Christ, we have nothing to look forward to but judgment. That's hard for society today to realize. That is hard for the church today to realize. Unfortunately, many, many people today want to be able to walk into a church and sit down in a pew when it's convenient and feel like they're on the way to heaven and they're guaranteed a spot in heaven just because they came in and take a seat. I'm afraid many of them are going to be disappointed. I'm not going to say God can't and God won't save someone sitting in a pew. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that someone who comes in with the attitude that's all they need to do to have salvation is going to be disappointed. They have to accept and believe and embrace Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. Confess sin. Repent of sin. And let the Holy Spirit have a work in their life. That's why it's called a new birth. That's why it's called being born again. Because it changes who you are. Religion will take new clothes and put on an old person. Redemption will put a new person in old clothes. My old worn out body hasn't changed since I've been redeemed. But the person inside this worn out body is new. The person inside this worn out body is redeemed. The person inside this worn out body is born again. A new person has been put inside the old clothing. Praise God. I don't have to worry about going out and putting on new clothes every week. I don't have to worry about coming in and getting a new one-liner. I don't have to worry about coming in and getting motivated. I don't have to worry about coming in and getting an enthusiastic fill-up from a charismatic figure. I don't have to worry about that because I've got Jesus. I don't worry about the reality of judgment because I have redemption. But without redemption, reality of judgment is all that is left. And there is a reason for judgment. Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." The reason for judgment is simply that. people enjoy their sin. Now, I realize that gets right down there where the rubber meets the road this morning. But it's true. People love their sin, which is the one thing that we must forsake and repent of when we're getting saved. We must know that there is sin in our life and we're being convicted of that sin. And we repent of that sin. We can't love the sin more than we love the light. We can't love sin more than we love Jesus. I've had two people honest enough in my ministry to actually tell me that. I was sitting in their home talking with them, explaining Jesus, trying to lead them to the Lord. And both of these people in that conversation, which both of them lasted a couple of hours, the discussion. But both of them told me, "Preacher, you're telling me the truth. I believe you. I believe you. But there are some things in life I'm just not willing to give up. There are some things in life I'm just not ready to set aside right now." They were telling me they love their sin more than they love the opportunity for salvation. They would rather embrace their sin than they had repent of it and accept Jesus. Have you ever heard of the law of cause and effect? Do you realize the law of cause and effect applies to Christianity? And it's even illustrated through eternal security. The law of cause and effect tells us that every action has a reaction or a consequence. In Romans 5:18, the Bible tells, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life." Offense of one, free gift of one. The offense of one was the condemnation that came from Adam. The free gift of one is the offer of eternal life that comes from Jesus Christ. Again, over in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Who are in Christ Jesus. If you're born again this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you are in Christ Jesus because He is in you. Otherwise, we're in the flesh. We're walking in the flesh. We need repentance and redemption from the flesh. Well, question 3 this morning in verses 20 and 21 ask, what does it all mean? And we've already covered some of that, but we'll summarize before we close. The Bible tells us Jesus is light in a dark world, and the world is dark because of evil. Notice the word evil. Jesus doesn't simply say sin because sin is a result of evil. He plainly and simply calls it what it is, evil. Man cannot live both evil and holiness. We can't do it. We have to be one or the other. There's no gray lines. There's no gray areas. There's no blurred lines. We are standing on one side of eternity or the other this morning. Man can't change that. Congress can't pass a law. The Supreme Court can't make a decision. The President can't sign an executive order. It's not going to happen. God has established it. He has established it. here in His Word. Not only has He established the condition of man, but He has established the redemption of man. He has established the one thing that will keep us united with Him and reunite us with Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the love of God through His only begotten Son. If you're born again this morning, you remember when you stepped out of darkness into light. The moment that you prayed for God to forgive your sin, the moment you prayed for the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sin, you stepped out of darkness and you stepped into light. You stepped into light that changed your life. And what happened when you stepped into the light? You realized by confessing your sins, there were things in life that needed to change in order to get a good and proper walk with the Lord. That's sanctification. And that goes on throughout our life. From the moment we receive Jesus Christ to the moment we lay down this body and we move into heaven, we're constantly seeing things that we need to change in life. That's the beauty of grace and mercy in the life of a believer this morning. Yes, salvation is won and done when it's done correctly. And when it's done correctly, it stays with us and we grow from it and we live it daily. And we work and we have a desire to maintain a close walk with the Lord. Oftentimes we have to deal with problems. We have to deal with issues. We have to deal with the world getting in between us and the Lord. Remember the introduction? I was talking about opportunities. Worldly opportunities. The opportunities, the world that we have to live in. The world that we get up in the morning and go to work in. The world that we walk out into when we walk out of the sanctuary here shortly. Oftentimes that world will get between us and the Lord if we're not careful. And as a Christian, we have to be conscious of this. We have to be conscious of it. We have to be wary of it. We have to be willing to say, whoa, back up and come back to God and say, Lord, I've got something between us. I need to get it out of the way. There's no shame in that. None whatsoever. It's all part of growing and continuing our walk in the Lord. Jesus came to save the world. And that should make everyone hearing this sit up and take notice. As I finish my conclusion this morning, I want to ask if our musicians would come and prepare us a hymn of invitation. And as they prepare, I want to ask, has this message stirred your heart this morning? I hope it did because it stirred mine as I was putting it together. Not because I'm hiding some gross sin, but because I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed from a condemnation that was passed along to me. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that stirs my heart. To read that and know that I am one of these. I am one of these that have accepted Jesus. I'm not redeemed because I deserved it. I didn't deserve it. And neither does anyone else. That's why it's called grace and mercy. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's something we need to cling to this morning. That's something we need to get back into our hearts and get back in love with Jesus again. God loves us enough to send His Son. And if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior today, you too know from experience what I'm talking about. Therefore, knowing Jesus should really stir our hearts today. Man's only opportunity for eternal life comes from Jesus Christ. Have you been called to this opportunity? And if you have you answered it? Maybe today is the day for you to answer the Lord's call to come to Him. Remember me telling you earlier about the two men that I witnessed to, and they both told me the same thing, not now, I have things that I don't want to get rid of. One of those men was in his late 60s, early 70s. 1 week after that meeting, that man was killed in a single vehicle accident a quarter of a mile from his home. I do not know how he left this world spiritually. I can say this based upon the Word of God and particularly the passage that we looked at this morning. If he did not get right with the Lord, if he did not ask for redemption, if he didn't accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, before he left this world, he died in condemnation. He died in condemnation, not salvation. It is appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointment that we all have. And from that appointment, which may change, because we can make changes and decisions in our life that does things to that appointment, that moves it and changes it. But irregardless, we have that appointment. Maybe through this message you realize you just simply need to come and say thank you to Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for grace and mercy. In either case this morning, if God is dealing with your heart while we sing, will you come?